Welcome to Christ the Day. Heavenly Father, we seek you, God, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Please show us what will bring us into a closer relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We seek the truth. We do not want to be told untruths. We search for what is true throughout life. And most of what we see in life proves itself to be a distortion, an untruth, even a lie. It is kind of a struggle we are in. A part of that struggle is to not lose our love, our concern for one another. Through the process of life, we are hurt and even abused. Our struggle is to regain love, and the source of that love is God. The God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As we renew our relationship with God, the love within each of us is regenerated. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is strengthened through prayer. We acknowledge that He is God. He alone is worthy of worship. As we go through life, we each have had our own journey, through which we have learned the truth of this. We realize that the truth is the truth, and upon truth is where we want our attention to be. An old saying is, do not let what you don't know change what you do know. I think that is an important concept. Sometimes I entertain some unusual ideas. They are just ideas to be evaluated. Often enough, we cannot see how something could be true. And I think of the first time I heard of this, that something cannot be true, and then with further information, it turns out there is some truth to this matter after all. Ghosts and UFOs are an example of this. In a way, we probably first heard about them and realized that this cannot be true. But if ghosts and UFOs were trans-dimensional demonic beings, there can be truth to these unusual concepts. Unusual concepts and truths can fit together, and there can be truth to them. And I think of an example of this, how in the Bible it says Jesus was prophesied to be born in Jerusalem. He would come out of Egypt, and he would be a Nazarene. Now, these were prophecies, and it was hard for people to believe in that day and even in this. How could that be? It would seem to be impossible in that day, and yet it was a true description. Well, I see how this is an example that we may want to learn flexibility with, because Bible concepts are true. And now as we examine last day's questions, you can see that there are things that we can put together and understand to be true, even though they do not make sense in the beginning. And whatever we do not want to change or reduce our Christian worldview, because that has demonstrated itself to be true time and time again. The truth of biblical concepts is true. It reminds me of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I like this, and I've heard Charles Stanley say he likes it also. It goes, trust in the Lord in all thy ways, and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, we want to see things, and we want to understand things. if we possibly can, from God's point of view. That is ever so much more true than our own point of view. And it reminds me of a story. From before I had read the entire Bible, from before I was a Christian, and it took place in colonial America about 300 years ago. There was a carpenter who was one of several carpenters. They were constructing a three-story building, and they were working on the frame. This one carpenter was at the top of the structure, and as he was working, he saw someone had not secured a timber at the top of it, and it began to slide and to fall. And there should not have been children below, but there were several children playing. He immediately cried out, "Lord, guide it!" The timber fell and hit on its small end and bounced and fell over, missing all the children that were playing below. That was something like a miracle. But I remember how I marveled at that man's instant relationship with God. And that was before I was a Christian. I better understand that instant relationship with God today, but it was a good example for me at that time. And now let me get back to my point that had to do with seeking and seeing the truth. So, for instance, are there ghosts and are there aliens? And well, I have to say, no, not in the way that we have heard about in our early lives, not the way we've been led to believe, but there are quite a number of people who have had a story to tell about interactions with these things. So there must be something to that experience. I myself have not had one of those experiences, so I cannot speak from my own personal experience. But I've talked with people who have had these experiences, and they can even be corroborated by other people. All in all, I have to understand that there is an element of reality here. Yeah, for sure there is. But I want to point out that there's another side to the story. Things that we don't see, things that we are generally not aware of. And those things come into the understandings we have also. I think of this one, that our United States government, or the military part of it, has had several ongoing programs which are capable of putting on a gigantic light show in the sky. This has been going on for years. They use a three-dimensional optical hologram, and if they want, they can add sound to it. These laser projections are made with multi-holographic images, and it just might be that chemtrails with their aluminum and barium content will turn the skies into a really good 3D movie screen. And we don't know that, but we don't know what these different things are for. Chemtrails or light shows or anything else. Well, this project has been going on for 25 years in its current form, and that the name of the project is Project Firesign. Before this, the project was called Project Bluebeam. It has the ability to project various images, large images, and they would include such things as Jesus, or the Mahdi, or UFOs, or gigantic weapons. It's been said that these images have been spread over the sky, and that they have the capacity to do this over 25% of the United States. Well, it's just these are the things that the reports say. And so it's something to be aware of as a possibility. So when these images appear, one very notable effect of these images on people is that it freezes people in place. They are simply unable to act or to do anything. And if you were going to take over a country, that's a pretty good effect. There's a question whether these systems have been used already. Now, I do not have firsthand experience or knowledge about this, but I've heard stories about these images, and I can see that there can be some truth to this. It is the ability to put, also the ability to put a voice into a person's head. And they call this the voice of God. That's what they actually call it in the writings, because it is sounds so directly into your mind so powerfully that it has the impression of being the voice of God. So you can wonder, why do I talk about these things? They're pretty remote, aren't they? Well, yes, they are. But I also realize that they are a part of a reality that some people have. And the important part is that we do not get fooled, but rather that you will learn to hear the voice of the one true God. I have talked about a false image, and I have also talked about the false voice of God. The reason I did this was so that you can realize that you want to pursue the true God, the true voice of God, and not a false image with a false voice. Do not be deceived. Boy, isn't that one that the Bible says several places over and over. Well, I had a little experience with this. Once, more than a dozen years ago, I did hear in my prayerful life, I did hear a lovely and sweet and powerful voice. It spoke into my mind. And some time went by, and I pondered it, because it was something, a new thing for me, and I was trying to determine if it was something real, or could it possibly be the devil speaking into my head. So I determined that I was going to pursue this and try to understand it. What was the voice of God? Now that's something that we all need to examine. What is the voice of God, and how do I hear it? Now the point is that his voice is pure and righteous. And I think the biblical example for understanding this is to look at Elijah's experience in 1 Kings 19:12, where the Lord's voice was a still and small voice. He first heard large sounds, but the Lord's voice was a still, small voice. And again, I say that I'm talking about this today as an example to you that we want to not be distracted by this reality, this physical world experience, but instead we want to hear the voice of the real God, the God of the Bible. And I do also suggest that prayer is necessary for this. I know I like Ephesians 6:18, where it says, praying always. What a concept that is, to pray always. That's kind of a wow. And I think, what does it take to pray always? Wow. Well, it takes thinking about yourself and others and God. It's surprising how many people only think or only talk about themselves. Now, doesn't Scripture warn us about that? And I think that a prayer life can adjust your frame of mind, your frame of thought and speech. So often, our reality turns into what we think about into life. And so we speak about things that we care about, and I think that should be our relationship with others and our relationship with God. So I'd like to add a little bit more about the thought of laser projections of multi-holographic images. If we on earth perceive holographic images of giants or demons, and if at the same time there are real giants and demons that come out of the pit, well, I think it will all be hard to discern one from the other because we're so attached to things of this world. And we have to learn how to discern between these two things, which are reality and images or holographic images. One of the things that I can see we very well may have to contend with is that pit that is opened in Revelation. And it makes me think of the CERN, LHC, which is the Large Hadron Collider. It's on the border of Switzerland and France, and it is very actively seeking to open up a pathway to another dimension. And we can only try to understand what that means. But we have hints. A hint here and a hint there. And we can say that we don't want it to happen. I think that our very best answer is to focus on our communication with God, the God of the Bible, and pray for discernment. As we practice listening for God's voice, and as we practice listening for God's voice, that can only help us. Now, there's a few of you who will say that today's broadcast is just a bit too far from reality to pay attention to. Well, I understand. These are some pretty strange concepts, very unusual. But there is a basis of reality, and that's the kind of thing that we just want to investigate. Investigate with our thoughts and our mind, and we don't have to believe it unless it turns out that there's a reason to believe it. But thinking a little bit in advance can give us an advance examination of thoughts which just might become true. And that's what I'm trying to say. Now, please understand that our first importance is our relationship with God. And further, that no matter what you find out or say or do, that is what is the important part, our relationship with God. The second thing I'm thinking about here is that our ideas and our thoughts follow a line of thinking that is based in reality, and examine if it is true or if it is not true. These things, they may well be useful in the future, and perhaps we don't have to deal with it today. But with all the things going on in the world today, surprises and strange concepts, we don't know which ones just might come about. And if we look at how reality has changed in the last 100 years, well, we can just say, wow. I know it's been about 100 years ago, a little less, that my dad talked about how he would take apples to the market on his horse-drawn cart. Wow, they didn't even have automobiles. He had one of the first trucks. Things have changed in 100 years. And if we even look at 50 years ago, who would have thought that the things of today would be a reality? The advances that we have had, or even the things that are conditions. Who would have thought about approximately the 70 million abortions in America? Who would have thought? Who would have thought that there would be scientists and laboratories that were growing supposedly transplantable human ears, literally on a mouse? And that has to do with combining the DNA of humans and mice. Who would have thought? No, these are things that are just impossible. And what are the new things of the future? We don't know. Another one of those strange things is that the scientists at CERN, that Large Hadron Collider at the border of France, that they're actually storing antimatter. Antimatter, that's something which a few decades ago was only a matter of our imaginations, a matter of something we read about in a comic book. But now they not only have it, they're storing it. What does it mean? Well, it's one of those things that could surprise us. There are scientists and physicists who say that antimatter is a real threat to our physical world. You know, to our very planet. Right here. It's a threat. And yet, we're dealing with it. We're creating it. We're storing antimatter in special containers. Well, there's a lot going on. Also at CERN, the people there, are excitedly searching for an opening to another dimension. They call this a Stargate. Imagine, 20 years ago, it was just a concept, but now they're making it a reality. So they want this to allow beings to be able to travel from one dimension to the other, you know, into this dimension. Two-way travel. It sounds spiritually and physically pretty scary to me. But here I am. What do I know? I'm just a regular guy. I'm a guy who's looked at science and situations and history. It's been fun for me. I've looked and I've looked and I've traveled and I've seen things and I've talked with people and I have developed ideas. Ideas which suggest that we should all be cautious. Cautious and prepared for surprises. Who knows what these events will bring? But they could well bring surprises that we just don't want to see happen. And I think the big part of what this all means is that we want to develop our relationship with God. God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Because that's our greatest reality. We might think that the physical world is our greatest reality. Well, in a sense it is. But the possibilities of our reality seem to go in every direction. Yes, every direction there's different things and different thoughts and adjustments and new discoveries, new examinations. God is stable. There is only one part of stability that it could come about that there's so many things going on that we seek for that one stable part, and that stability is always in God. God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. So with all the things going on, our reality could be lots of things, lots of directions it could go. For one way, it could become easy and carefree, just like we saw in several cartoons. Oh, remember the Jetsons? That was one where it was ever so easy to live and had everything automated for our comfort. Yes, it could go that way, where everything's easy and we are carefree. Or it could go in quite the opposite direction. The opposite direction where we are watched over and watched. And we don't know what the whole thing could be. But whatever the future holds, let's look at right now. Right here today, we are all free. We are all able to do things, and we're able to look for ourselves at what we can do. And with uncertainties all around us, to me, it only makes sense that we prepare for what the future holds. And what the future holds, it is still a mystery. We don't know. And that means we prepare for quite a few different things. So, will we have peace and security? Will we have peace and prosperity? Or will we have sudden destruction? Well, they're all possibilities. They really are. But if you look at where mankind has been, what has been the characteristic traits, what has been the direction that we in societies, that we as countries have gone? It's not always towards the best peace and prosperity. Nope, it's not. Sometimes it is towards sudden destruction, and it seems like everybody gets together and agrees on it. That's what it seems like. So, like I said, we could have an amazing freedom in our future. Or we could have a giant web. Let's say we could have the World Wide Web. It is gigantic. And it could have a gigantic poisonous spider in the middle of it. Yeah, I know it's just a concept, but really, it is a question when you think of what the web does, what the people who are listening to it all does, and how we are all being characterized with our own individual identities. We are being characterized and monitored and watched. So, I didn't mean to get into that arena, but if you have questions about it, there's someone else you can ask who knows more than me, but I've been surprised at how true it is. Okay. So we could go towards a society that pursues God, that pursues Christian morality, and of course pursues love. Yes, that is a real possibility. And as people who are devoted to God through Jesus Christ, we can be a part of bringing this about. And on the other hand, we could be a society that would pursue violent sports, violent media, pursuit of material gains, often in an immoral way, immoral according to God, and we could have unnatural, unholy sexual unions. That all these things are things that are going on today. I think the violence is just a sign of it all. But we can go either way. And we want to have a greater desire for the things of God, to have that right and lasting relationship with God of the Bible. So other nations and other societies have been in a similar position to the one that we are now in. And what do they choose? Well, in the past, it pretty much has not been a righteous choice for what the future holds. The way they choose pretty much has to do with self-orientation, and it seems like that is what we have today, a society that chooses self-orientation. Well, other nations and other societies have been weighed in the balances and have been found wanting. Yeah, we remember that one. If that is our position today, what do you think will happen? And I'll tell you, there's a few voices that are saying judgment is coming. At this time, I can't speak to that. It's something which we've heard for a lot of years, but it takes examination. That's a big question. So for me, all I can do is urge you to look at the plain and simple things that we can see, plain and simple situations that now are, and plain and simple consequences. The consequences that are a natural outcome of the situation that would come about when we follow the outcome of the choices that we have made. Yeah, I don't have the answers to those kind of questions. There's quite a few different questions and different answers, and really each one of us has to seek the truth in our own understanding. But I will say that in my life, I've had many blessings in life, and I've seen many things with my own eyes, and I've seen many things By reading, by seeing what has gone on in the world. Sure, there's been lots of lovely things, lots of wonderful, wonderful parts to life. But I've also seen the things that are difficult, like shortages. I've seen situational problems, institutional problems, natural disasters, social revolt, and now not firsthand, but I've seen war and famine in the world. A lot of us have seen these things. It's just one of the possibilities, and there are many possibilities, many ways that things can go. And most of the ways things can go are not good for people. They're things that would make problems for individuals and mankind. I think that in the past we have been at crossroads and have had the possibilities of going either direction. So what do? Do we pursue God's righteous living, or do we pursue our own unhealthy, call it unholy, desires? Well, you can take that question and look at it on an individual level or on a societal level. There's lots of things in the last 20 years that have made our uniform direction go in a way that is towards difficult times. Difficult. And I've heard the prophets, I've heard people prophesy that there is war, destruction coming, and that there will be a remnant also, and lots of ungodly people who are survivors too. It seems to line up with Scripture, but, you know, you have to kind of read it for yourself. There's lots of room for variations to occur. You have to question it. You have to ask, do I believe it? Well, I don't know about that, but I know that there's lots of possibilities. That's the thing I like to look at. Lots of possibilities. And I know that our nation could repent. I know that each family, each person could repent. We could delay, or we could stop whatever might be coming. But it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think and what we all do. We have to do something. And I think whatever's going on, I would like you to think. That's what I'd like to do, motivate you to think and consider what the possibilities are. The possibilities are not all good, and that's why I say to everyone, think, plan, and do. It means you think about it, you come up with a plan. Yes, a plan. A plan, because there are so many possibilities. Only you can think about what it is that you see, understand, and are willing to do. But there are so many different directions going on that I think it would do us all good to see what could happen. What could happen with people? What could happen with our community? And that what can we do to help each other? Now that's the advantage of a community or a large family. It is caring for one another, helping with what is lacking, if there are shortages, if there are serious situations that come about. You see, we don't know when, and we don't know if, an emergency or a big event will happen. Emergency preparations can be used, and they may well be needed. But that's the point. They might be needed. And the situation, if we don't have them, can be so serious, so hard on us, that we will be motivated to make some provisions for that just-in-case situation. And that is the big thing that I want to talk to you about. I talked to you about what could happen to motivate you to do something. You know, there's a lot of people that see things coming. Do you know how many people are expecting something to happen on September 23rd, 2017? There's plenty of people who see that as the beginning of the Great Tribulation. A lot! There's a whole lot of people who think that, or at least who are entertaining it. And they see that it's a very good possibility that September 23rd, 2017 is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Well, maybe it is. I don't know, but I know that it's a possibility, and I know there's events that are lining up with it. And among those people who are expecting an event, I think that less than half of them are expecting that there will be a post-tribulation rapture. Not a pre-tribulation rapture, but a post-tribulation rapture. I don't know that I can say what it means, but there again, it's something every one of us has to make a decision about. And that should motivate us to get prepared, either for ourselves or for people who we love. So those are my impressions about the things. And it's not that I took a poll or had any scientific analysis. It's simply I look at what could be lining up with the scripture. Because there are fall feasts this fall, the Jewish festivals, and they do seem to line up pretty good with some reasonable position behind that September 23rd, 2017, being, well, an important day. What it is, I think we all should examine it and see for ourselves. There's a looming problem, or at least potential problem, and I see that there could be a situation with a global economic system coming into play. We could see collapses before that time or after that time. And again, there's some pretty good indicators of this. Do I know the future? Nope, but I can sure see the signs and indications. For one thing, there's a growing number of businesses, or should I say business and financial people, who are speaking out and saying that the United States economic system is headed for a disastrous crash. And there are general concerns that go along with this. What would happen if the United States economic system were to crash? What would you trade if nobody found the dollars to have value? And that's a problem worldwide, not just in our own backyard. But just as we live, it would be a problem if the dollars no longer had a value. What would we trade? How would we get things if nobody wanted these worthless dollars? If we had inflation inflate the value of them so much, these are all real things that more than a few people are proposing as our future. And what I'm trying to do is tell you that this is a possibility. If it's a possibility, then give it some thought and consider what you should do. How will you live? How will you buy what you need? Will you be able to buy things? What if we send our money over to China and China doesn't want it, so they won't send their goods back over here? What do we have that they want? How do we trade? It's just questions, but it's coming to a point where serious people are talking about this and asking what would happen if the system failed. Well, it would probably turn into a worldwide crash, not just the United States. But these are just speculations. However, there have been strong indications that the World Bank, that's a part of the United Nations, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund have already made contingency plans for just in case such a thing were to happen. What if there was a worldwide crash? That's what they have examined. They've looked at these things and tried to figure out what to do as emergency steps. Now, there's more than a few people who have taken note that this international monetary magazine, The Economist, it's based in London, it's been internationally recognized as the premier economic review and magazine. Now, it had a front cover that had great symbolism in it, And it showed that 2018 was the year when all the currencies would die and that a new global and economic system would arise out of the failure of the world economic system. I'm not trying to advocate this position, but I'm saying that there's other people who see it that way. And if other people see it this way, intelligent people, people who deal with these matters, if they see it this way, well, it just could come about. Sure, it would be a surprise to most people, but as I say repeatedly, just give these things some thought and say, what if it were to occur? What would we do? And that leads me to, again, my old standby line is think about things, think, do, and prepare. There's some things we can do to prepare for difficulties. Do them. Think about it. Think, plan, and do. Okay. So, if such an event were to happen, it would ever so likely be a very difficult transition. There would be months of time when there would be trouble, chaos, and destruction, and a strong force would be necessary to regain order. Now, that's the kind of thing that certain people are thinking about. We will need a strong a body to restore order. And I say this over and over again. It's not that I'm predicting it. It's not that I'm saying it will come about. But there are people who are seeing these as possibilities. And because some people see this, I think it only makes sense to spend a little bit of time and a little bit of effort to see what would happen if. What if it were to happen? That's what I'm trying to get everyone to just examine. There's so many issues at hand here that could take one direction or the other. And all we're doing is speculating on what could happen next, except that the Bible does talk about before the days before Jesus returns, what will happen, and we would do well to remember that. I think of earthquakes and famine and say, wow, what should we get ready for? Wars and famines have real difficulties that come along with them. And the aftermath is just plain obvious. Destruction, hunger, poverty. What I'm trying to say, there are surprises that could happen. We could have natural disasters that would bring about the same kind of concerns. Plan. Think about what could happen, make a plan, and then do something. Of course, you want to look at what your basic needs are, and really those basic needs are water and food. There's other needs too, but everybody needs water and food on a daily basis. So you think about it, you make a plan, and then you don't stop until you are satisfied with whatever it is you have done. There are several sources that indicate an event is coming. One of these is the media. The television and movie industries are talking about an event. Another event I've already touched on, it's the September 23rd, 2017. Who knows what would happen after that? What if that is the start of the Great Tribulation? Another thing that some people are looking at is the Day of Rage. The Day of Rage seems to have various roots. And one of the things has to do with the Muslim rage over Israel becoming a state in 1948. And since then, there has been what has been called a Day of Rage. It is commonly thought to be July 15th of each year. So, do I know it? No, I don't know it, but it's one of those things that are possibilities. Now, while we're talking about the month of July, let's talk about July as being a month. It's a proposed day of July 2nd and 3rd to begin a show of violent opposition to our president, President Trump. And it is suspected that violence could erupt in a number of U.S. cities. If there are five major U.S. cities that have violence and disruption, a state of national emergency could be declared. And that could lead to, as I said, a national emergency where Congress would dismiss itself and declare a state of emergency and have a leader appointed. Well, there's so many what-ifs. All I mean to say is there's things that are working that could happen. It's not what we have to focus on. It. We should not focus on the difficulties, on the harm, of the bad things that can happen. The only thing that I would hope to communicate is that things can happen. And since they can happen, you put just a little bit of attention into it and get those emergency things ready for your just-in-case situation. Because I present these things to say there really is a reason to get prepared. That's the only thing. The officials say you should have 4 days of food and water. That's what FEMA is recommending. But if you want to listen to the voice of other emergency personnel, they say a month at least of emergency food and water. 6 to 8 weeks is kind of common for that other element that is willing to talk about serious situations. 6 to 8 weeks of food and water. Yeah, I guess that means I better get busy too, because while I talk about these things, I could do better, and I know you can too, because it's hard to actually realize that there is a situation in front of us that needs to be have some preparedness measures with it. But that's the thing. Think about it and realize that everything that you do for preparation will dispel fear. Any fear that you have can be dispelled by having preparations at hand. So don't forget to get that water. Water is so important. Water and food, if you like. Well, food's important too. And you get to figure out what it is you like. I like grains because they last so long. Especially hard red wheat, because you can make bread out of it. And I think that if we were to have a problem, bread would be probably the things that we would, our go-to food. So we'll need sugar, besides the wheat, sugar, oil, and salt. Have plenty of that on hand, sugar, oil, and salt. Another couple of things that are helpful to have with that are yeast. Yep, to make that bread rise, and flavorings. Because after a few days of eating plain old bread, a little bit of flavor is really good. Any flavor. Vanilla, onion, anything. It just is a good thing. Along with your grain, your wheat, you will want to have a hand-powered wheat grinder. That's important. So is a cast iron pot with a lid so that you can cook in it. A large cast iron pot with a lid. That supplies a person with the iron they need. Everybody needs iron. A propane stove is also good. For that water, remember that a gallon a day per person is what is recommended. And that's lots of water. That's a lot of water, and water weighs a lot. So get a 55-gallon drum that you can put water in. Alternatively, you can get several 5-gallon cans at the everything store. There's several stores that have them. Water is so important. We can go a few days without water, or it's said longer for going without food, but if you do that, it weakens your body tremendously. You should try very hard to not go without water or food. And a gallon a day is what is recommended. That's lots of water. And don't forget the antidiarrheal tablets for just in case. They're very good. Batteries are very good. All these things are all good. Make a list. Get organized. You want to have organization so that your work will be done effectively, so that you don't duplicate what you have already. To purchase the same thing over and over again is not that uncommon because it's an item that is on your mind. And what do? You think about it. And because you're thinking about it, you buy it. So remember also that you have spiritual needs. Everybody should have their own Bible. And to have a concordance is a very good thing also. Concordances are valuable. They help you to look things up, at least have one or two per family. And there's nothing wrong with each person having a Bible and a concordance. There's always things to look up. And if the power goes out, if you're going to be staying in your home, your electronic devices probably won't be working. So you will want to have something to occupy you. And I do recommend the Bible for that. Books. You might want to learn about how to grow gardens. That's another good thing. Gardens are good, but they have limitations. So, like I said, I certainly recommend you get a supply of food now, while it's plentiful, while it's available. Get food that lasts, and to me, that's grains, but everybody has their own orientation. Rice is good, too. Not brown rice, but white rice, because, yeah. So I've talked about these things in various broadcasts in 2017. I do suggest that you look at the past broadcasts. Go to them. See if any of them interest you. Skip through them. See, because I talk about various subjects on each broadcast. See if there's something that interests you, and then listen for a while. I have multiple subjects. So see what interests you. You can listen to any broadcast of Christ Today if you go to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase, no spaces. You will see KKXX on the top, and below that is Christ Today with my name, John Stephenson. It's always an idea that you can do. See which ones appeal to you. You can contact me, John Stephenson, through the U.S. Mail, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And my email address is prepareforgod@usa.com. And if you send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, I will send you my preparedness pamphlet, which is 2 pages, copied front and back, and it talks about preparedness ideas. So have a look at those things. Examine all these things. Please have a look at it. There's all the basic things that we have, and those are the things which you need to pay attention to. Of course, there's the spiritual matter. Spiritual food is very important, and to me, that's the Bible. After that, you will want food. Now let me say that. You will want water. Water is very important. And as I've said, water is heavy. What would you do if you didn't get water from your tap? It's a big question. So that's why it's so much easier to store water. And the same thing with food. What would you do if you couldn't buy food at the grocery store? Why, if we had an electrical outage over a large area, the grocery stores would shut down. They don't let anybody in because they can't make sales. Their cash registers are all electronic. So even if they have food, they can't sell it. Look at what FEMA recommends. FEMA recommends 275 pounds of wheat for one person for 1 year. And as I've said before, if you look at a number of people, because it would not just be the one person, it would be people who are looking for help. Family members, neighbors, and so your 275 pounds, especially if you sprout it, if you sprout your wheat to get greens, well, that becomes a 30-day food supply pretty easily. So get grains, get dehydrated food, get non-perishable items, and that can include vitamins. Don't forget those. So consider these things for what you'll want for your preparedness area. There's also your toilet facilities. That's something I do suggest a post-hole digger for, because that's the best thing. And medical first aid, yes, get that. Get the basics. The basics are cloth medical tape, triple antibiotic ointment, and gauze pads. You can add to that all sorts of things. You can add to that aspirin or some kind of a pain reliever. All these things. So get what you need for that just in case. Stay warm. You'll need warm clothes. If the power does go out, all these things are a problem. Transportation? Well, you probably won't be driving, so get a bicycle. Have spare tubes. All these things. Whatever you do, look at what is versatile. What will be able to be used or shared with your neighbors. It could be matches. It could be paper and pencil. It could be tweezers. It could be paper, pens. All these things are things that are needed and shared. In times of difficulty, get those Bibles ready. All these things are things that if you just think about, you'll see how important they are. So get your supplies, get them now, and consider how you would form a community. It could be your neighborhood, it could be your church group, it could be something. But you just give it some thought, consider the what-ifs. That's a large subject. And the what-ifs you will have to think of for yourself, because everybody thinks of different things. And as a community, we can help one another because we all have different thoughts and different orientations. All these things we can use to benefit other people, to show the love of Christ. And that is what we do in times of trouble. The medical list can be quite long, and that seems to be one thing that people like to look at. I've given you the basics. Those are the basic things. You can add to it as much as you want. There's kind of like no limit there. The question is, what do you know how to use? And add that to your medical list. Just think, plan, and do. That's what I would say. Now I hope you listen to the broadcast. You can listen to it on the www site of christtoday.org, and you can listen to broadcasts that have been made in the past. See which ones are interesting to you. And then I want to thank you for listening today, and that I look forward to your listening next week. Thank you, and may God bless you, and may you bless God. And give you thanks for listening. Let me live inside your glory.